With that, we're going to move on to number 20 is Highway 1, Freedom Boulevard, State Park Drive, Auxiliary Lanes, and Bus on Shoulder and Coastal Rail Trail Segments 12 Project Construction Administrative Strategy Options. 22.
Sure.
Good afternoon, commissioners, chair. Samina Boamara, I'm the director of capital projects at the RTC. I was waiting for the presentation to be on. Thank you. The staff report in front of you today is to present you with the construction administration strategies, the construction administration strategies for the segment three of the Highway 1 corridor improvements. The segment three is from Freedom Boulevard to State Park Drive, which will include the auxiliary lanes, bus and shoulder, coastal rail trail segment 12. And next slide, please. You have seen this figure one before. This shows you the corridor one improvements that are currently going on for segment one, which is from Soquel Drive to 41st Street, which is highlighted by the Chanticleer POC that you have seen the opening of it a couple of months ago. And the segment two, which is from 41st Street to State Park Drive, which is highlighted by the Capitola Avenue Bridge that will be open to public by the end of this year, very early next year, as well as the what our director just pointed out, the Mar Vista POC, which started construction. Segment three is the last segment of the corridor enhancement, which goes from State Park to Freedom Boulevard, and also has two components. What you see now here is the first component, which has the auxiliary lanes and bus and shoulders and some bridges and the state right-of-way. And between these two bridges that you could see in the rail trail overcrossings, the second component of this project. Next slide, please. This is the second component of the project, which is basically the segment 12 of the trail, the coastal trail. And it goes from the intersection of our rail line from State Park Drive, going north and going over the State Highway 1, and going through the Aptos Village, coming back south to cross the highway again and intersect with Rio del Mar and Sumner Avenue. It's about 1.25 miles. And this figure two is the second component of this project. So we are going to present you with a couple of strategies for construction administration. We have been working for the last decade, partnering very well with the state, with Caltrans, the Department of Transportation for the state. And we, in the last few months, we have been working with them diligently to come up with the strategies of the construction administration, as they have been our construction administration partner for the first two segments. So I'm gonna just go next segment, please. Just very quick highlights of this project. In 2020, we entered into co-op agreement. We, the RTC, entered into co-op agreement with Caltrans for the environmental clearance document, what we call the project approval environmental document, as we were the implementing agency and Caltrans provided oversight. The environmental document clearance was completed in 2023. Also in 2023, we entered in another cooperative agreement to do the design, now the plan specification estimates, as well as the right-of-way components of the project, again, as the RTC implementing agency with Caltrans oversight. In 2024, next slide, please. 2024, and to apply for the state, for the Senate Bill 1 grant in cooperation with Caltrans, we, next slide, please. We committed to implementing the construction component of the Coastal Rail Trail Segment 12. Thus, the RTC approved splitting the project into two separate standalone projects. In 2025, the RTC was successful in securing the State Cycle 4 Senate Bill, SP1 grant for $94 million for this project construction. We were also successful for federal mega grant for $30 million. And with that, our funding for the project was complete. So next slide, please. So where are we right now with the project? We are in the final design stages. We are at 95% design, as well as the right-of-way is underway. And we are scheduled for construction for late fall 2026. The two strategies we identified are basically hybrid, where Caltrans would be our partner to do the construction. They will be the implementing agency for the construction administration for whatever is in the state right-of-way, meaning all the auxiliary lanes, bus and shoulders, and the bridges in the state right-of-way. And we, as the RTC, will be the implementing agency for the segment of the trail, segment 12 of the trail. And we're going to be working hand-in-hand with Caltrans. Or the second strategy will be the RTC will take on the entire project and be the implementing agency for construction administration. Next, please. Current estimated construction cost for this project is $200 million. The split is approximately 70% for the what was in Figure 1, which is within the state right-of-way, 30% for the Segment 12 trail with two steel bridges along that segment as well. There are added costs from the splitting of the project, which is about $12 to $15 million identified as an estimate right now, basically just estimating that there will be two contractors, two construction administration teams, and that kind of represent about 7 to 9% of the total project cost. Staff still believes that some of these extra costs will be offset due to the Caltrans experience of delivering this hybrid project. Now, the next couple of slides will just give you some highlights of the of both strategies. And I'm concentrating on strategy one because this will be the recommended by staff. So next slide, please. Strategy one, we have worked with Caltrans and we have studied our options very well at the staff level and discussing this with Caltrans. And we believe based on the experience that we had with delivering segment one and segment two, that Caltrans has these benefits that we as the RTC and the community will realize from them partnering with us and delivering the hybrid project. Some of these benefits I highlighted here: operations and maintenance knowledge of the highway, one corridor. They have the construction administration experience of our corridor being the one for segment one and two. They have all the supporting functional units needed in their District 5 office in San Luis Obispo, as well as for the structures and headquarters. They have the experience managing the state Senate Bill 1 grants, as well as the federal grants. So as far as administration, project management, and programming, we're basically going to be assisted with their expertise on that. They have an on-call construction administration consultant contract that will give us the advantage that, you know, all the personnel for the construction administration will be handled for and any possible staff turnover will also be handled in the four-year-long construction duration of the project. Next slide, please. Continuing strategy one, we will be the implementing agency for the trail component. We will have to solicit construction administration management company. We'll also need to employ two additional full staff engineers or project management. Basically, that's for a full-time construction engineer that will follow up the daily construction activities as well as the project controls, logistics, invoicing, and all of the other functions needed for administering construction management contract. And then this split will also have a schedule shift between 4 to 6 months, basically shifting construction to be ready to the spring, summer of 2027. Strategy two is simple. We will be the implementing agency for the entire project. We will assume total control of the construction administration of the project. We will probably avoid the initial 12 to 15 million estimated increase in construction cost from the split. And the RTC will have to solicit a 3 times larger construction admin contract with a consultant, and we will also need 3 additional staffing positions. So as a result of this, and after good deliberation and working with all our partners, staff recommends, next slide please. Staff recommends strategy one, the Caltrans RTC hybrid implementation, with Caltrans being the implementing agency for the construction of a Highway 1 auxiliary lanes and bus on shoulder portion of the project between Freedom Boulevard to, between Freedom Boulevard to State Park Drive, including the 2 pedestrian overcrossings and the 2 rail bridges, and the RTC being the implementing agency for the construction of the Coastal Rail Trail Segment 12 portion of the project. Next slide, please. Thank you.
Questions? Commissioner Schiffer.
With a staff recommended strategy, is there sufficient funding in the grant budget and the total budget to pay for that strategy, or will there be a need for additional funding?
We have sufficient funding. This is one of the things we had to kind of investigate and make sure that we have enough funding in the what was programmed for the Major D Segment 3 project. So there is enough funding for the anticipated cost. And if I may add that these are estimated costs of increase at the beginning, that we are hoping that when bids are opened up, that, you know, some, we can get some competitive construction contract bids, especially if someone bids on the larger project within the state right-of-way, and then they get that contract, that it'll probably behooves them, and they'll be interested to get the second part, so they will be very competitive with it. So part of what we're anticipating at 12, 15 million might actually be decreased eventually. Then the construction support part that we are also anticipating in adding some of the construction engineering costs that we're going to manage, that will be offset by some savings that currently Caltrans has realized also in the project. We understand that every construction project also has some unforeseen, expected unforeseen projects. We're trying to learn from all the lessons that we learned from the corridor on Signal 1 and Signal 2, and we're hoping that we will be in control, more in control of managing this segment than the last 2 segments.
Thank you.
Commissioner Clark.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you for the great presentation and putting together a pretty thorough staff report on this. I appreciate that.
Thank you.
I do have a couple questions, though. So when our friends from Caltrans visited us last for their cost overruns, one of the premiums that we paid on this was the fact that Caltrans didn't have enough staff and they had to farm out work to consultants, which ultimately cost us more per hour than what Caltrans would have billed us for. So my concern and my question is, if we went forward with Caltrans, the hybrid project, Caltrans managing this, is there some assurance that they have the staff to actually carry this out, or will we be looking at another round of cost overruns because we had to pay a premium for outside engineers?
Thank you. This is an excellent question that we actually have worked on this, and we, in our few months of working with Caltrans, we know for sure that Caltrans will bring consultants to manage this project, because the current staffing and the current needs for District 5 is above and beyond that their staff only can manage. And we have also our ex officio, the chief deputy of Caltrans District 5, that you can add to that. However, we knew coming in to this strategy number one that they will be using the consultants, and we had that in mind, and we had that also accounted for in the calculation of our construction support services. In fact, we are actually happy that they have that ability, because in their on-call construction management contract, we have the ability that they could cover any staff overrun, which really is a very important aspect into managing a construction project with the size, because oftentimes people retire, oftentimes people change jobs, and sometimes it's very hard to keep the key personnel on that project. And the fact that Caltrans will be responsible for the project with whoever they bring to manage, whether it's from this consultant or that consultant, they are still responsible for this delivery. So this is something that we actually feel comfortable with. And at the same time, we know that and I have watched, how Caltrans operates. Sometimes, it feels like these their cost overruns. Maybe we have the feeling that they might not care about our money because they are the state, but they do. And I have seen this myself and with my assistant engineer. We are there with the negotiations with the contractors. We are there with how they charge their staff charges and consultant charges of the project. So we feel comfortable that we have a solid partner for this segment.
Well, thank you for that. I just, and I'm sure you can see where I'm getting at here, is I just don't want some assurance from Caltrans that, yeah, we have the people to do it. And then on the back end, we're going to see, surprise, here's a bill for some cost overruns because, whoops, we didn't have the people. And none of my questions are meant to impugn anybody from Caltrans or to suggest there's ulterior motives. We're just trying to be responsible with our dollars and plan appropriately and responsibly for that. So I do have another question that's kind of geared towards that. So in May, on item 29, we addressed some cost overruns on the Highway 1 41st Avenue to Soquel Drive Auxiliary Lane project and the bus on shoulder. We learned that some of the cost overruns were because Caltrans didn't coordinate previous work with concurrent work on that project, and it resulted in some reworks and some cost overruns. So my question is, if we manage our own project, is there a better chance we can avoid these kind of under coordination cost overruns?
Another excellent question, Commissioner Clark. Yes, no.
That's fair.
Yes, we could be in more control of how the construction cost overruns can be managed. Basically, trying and anticipate any from the lessons learned from segment one and two. What are the lessons learned? There were some utility conflicts that were not known at the time. There were some additional design elements that needed to be added that led to that. Not to say that Caltrans also didn't learn from our corridor what are the things that are particular to our corridor, that they would themselves also try and avoid these things. And actually, I am seeing this very clearly in the segment two construction administration of it. So we're not partnering with Caltrans because they are less expensive. We're partnering with Caltrans because they are more experienced in managing these kind of projects. And whether we get, which we would probably, I cannot promise you that we won't, have some more cost overruns, whether it's due to maybe design omissions, maybe unforeseen conditions on the site, maybe some needs during construction. But I can assure you that everybody in this partnership is doing what they have to do to get this project as much as possible on schedule and within the budget.
And somehow I feel a little bit better if we're in control of some of those potential issues that could create cost overruns. I'm going to shift here just a little bit. So how would splitting the project under Strategy 1, how would that affect the administration of the $94 million SB1 grant and the $30 million federal mega grant? Are there risk or delays or complications in amending the funding agreements?
No, actually, I checked with the Caltrans staff on this very clearly. In fact, they do that all the time. They have done it with the other counties along the corridor in District 5, and it's about changing the, just making sure that what we put in the baseline agreement, which we have to do, it's currently scheduled in March, which we would come to you in the next month or so to give you a copy of the cooperative agreements that will be spelled out in the baseline agreement. Basically, in this baseline agreement, as we know that the SB1 grant has three main partners now, we will add, it's the RTC, the county, and Metro. For their shares of the grant, the Caltrans will be added as another person, another entity in the implementing agencies.
Great, thank you. So on your map and in the project, as we're all aware, there's a couple of points where these two projects actually converge, right? So in Strategy 1, right, well, we've got two different entities working on these two different portions of it. How would potential conflicts or claims between the two contracts, one for highway, one for trail, how would that be resolved? And who would bear the responsibility for any delays or costs?
So the reason for the 4 to 6 months shift in the later shift and getting to construction is basically to address also the point that you're bringing, which is an excellent point, and that also always comes with a split of project of this size along some borderline. So for that matter, when we discussed with Caltrans, they are going to be with us in the last few months of design, as well as another We would probably have to employ a third-party consultant to do an independent constructability review, matching these two contracts together, aligning where the split of the project will be, a reasonable split that will decrease any possible conflicts. All of this will be vetted. All of this will be agreed on, and basically that will kind of also dictate the exact amount of contracts for this, for the split of the engineer's estimate between the segment that will be administered by Caltrans and the segment that will be administered by us. Now, in addition to that, there will be some coordination, and there is another item that we would that is included in the construction support cost, that there will be also, in addition to the construction management company that we'll have to solicit for segment one, we would also solicit a construction management company independent of both, to make sure that they help us with managing the expectations of these two projects. That is going to be what also our additional staff will be doing. So there will be definitely a lot of coordination to make sure that these things don't happen. They happen all the time. Conflicts happen, but we are going to try and manage these conflict expectations and decrease them.
Okay. And just one final question here for you. So under strategy or option number one here, we're talking about the hybrid plan. There is this potential for an additional cost of $12 to $15 million, which is not insignificant. I got to tell you, it gives me a little heartburn. So based on that, you did indicate, though, that staff believes that there would be some benefit that might pay back on that. Do we have some idea of how much that would be, or how much we could expect to benefit of that $12 to $15 million? Could we realize $7 million back in benefit because of using Caltrans' expertise, or have we quantified that at all?
We could realize all the $15 million.
We could, but do we have a realistic estimate?
No benefit. Yeah. So it's really hard to tell, because we depend on, so the estimate that we came up with for between the 12 and 50 million, and we actually sought help of our designers, and it's basically three components, about $1 million, $1.3 million cost for the design split of the packages. Every single sheet would have to be kind of looked at and made sure that it belongs to this contract, that contract, in addition to the special provisions, in addition to a lot of other things. So that's the cost for the design cost of to split the projects. And then there comes two more costs, which basically the cost of splitting a bigger $200 million project into 140 and 60. So then again, some of the bid items, instead of being maybe for the economies of scale, instead of quoting a dollar for that item, you will quote $1.05, if you know what I mean. So basically that is this little extra that we could realize from economies of scale. However, that's what I'm saying, that, you know, if the contractor that would get the bid for the bigger project chases after the other project, they will want to be in that project because they already have all the equipment there and everything. And although they will charge more mobilization and the same, you know, they will charge mobilization, they will charge, you know, all the other lump sum quantities, but then for the bid items, they might actually have it competitively bid so that they take the contract. So this is what we're looking for in terms of some of these expenses. So this is another, we're looking at $6 to $7 million of that increase that might actually be offset a little bit because this is all public bidding. So everybody's trying to get that bid. Now, the third component of the extra is the construction engineering. So the construction engineering, we also, the construction support, we also added about $6-7 million because, first of all, we will have our own construction management consultant that we will have, and then adding also the couple of full-time engineers. But at the same time, this cost is already included in the $200 million eventually. So the extra might not be that much, the $6-7 million. However, we were trying to give you a conservative number so that you see the number, but you see the benefits hopefully, and so we, you know.
And I appreciate that. I'd rather see a worst case scenario on that. So
that's what we're trying to observe it as.
Well, thank you for your responses to my question. I appreciate
my
that.
Pleasure.
Thank you to my colleagues here for indulging my questions. And I'll yield my time.
Thank you. Any other questions?
Just a couple more quick questions. Just to sort of understand the scope of trying to do this internally. I mean, you mentioned strategy one would require us to hire two more internal staff, and strategy two would require three more. I think if we do strategy two, do we need five additional staff or two? A total of three. So it's not additive. Okay. All right. And then have any other jurisdictions taken on construction implementation of this size? I mean, like, obviously there's a giant risk in us trying to do all of this, right? Can we understand that risk by looking at how other jurisdictions have approached projects of this size, or is it simply not done?
Is your question about locally here or across the state?
I'm looking at across the state. I mean, obviously, we've never done it before here.
Sure. So across the state from, talking to others at, statewide events and conferences, agencies like us elsewhere do have full-blown construction departments where they deliver very large programs of projects regionally. They also sometimes, like for example, VTA, who was one of my main clients back when I was in the private sector, they have such a robust construction team that, there's a lot of value in that. And therefore, the local agencies like City of San Jose or City of Santa Clara and whatnot, sometimes will contract with the VTA if they have a big, say, interchange project that they're sponsoring, but they don't have the resources to staff up. They would, oftentimes go to their partners at VTA who have this already established team. And it is a value for our region. Because when we go to statewide events and we talk to other regions, they're all wanting to ask us how we're so successful in getting all these grants and delivering all these projects. And, it's not easy. It's going to be a heavy lift for our agency either way. I just want to stress that this is a big deal for our agency, the makeup of our agency, the functioning of our agency. We have a heavy agenda and, the other items are getting a lot of attention, but this is a big deal for our agency and for our region. And regardless of which direction we go in, we are going to have to transform a little bit into more of a delivery agency, because we have received this very large grant. So it's not uncommon to have other, CCTA, Contra Costa, VTA, San Mateo, TA, like they either will partner with Caltrans when it makes sense to, or they'll deliver it themselves and they'll do that kind of benefit analysis like we're doing today.
Right. It's going to impact your lives a lot more than it's going to impact our lives. So I'm inclined to trust your benefit analysis and your recommendation on this, even though, of course, the idea of a unified project where we're all just the same contractors on both is very appealing. But what I'm hearing is you, in the just the nature of the recommendation is that you feel that the risks of trying to do that heavy lift internally and deliver the entire project is ultimately outweigh the cost and time delay of doing it as separate projects. Is that a fair statement?
Either way, we're going to have to put out some very large projects, contracts, I mean. So very large procurements, very large contracts that we will be awarding under either scenario. It's just like, you know, large or extra large, right? Same with staffing. We're either going to have to staff up moderately or staff up a lot. So either way, it's a lift for our agency. And, you know, we do work very closely with Caltrans and appreciate their collaboration. And it would be less of a lift for us if we did the second or the split hybrid approach.
Okay, thank you.
Any other Commissioner Schifrin?
It seems to me there's no good choice here. Given our experience with the highway projects and the cost overruns, the kinds of concerns that Commissioner Clark has raised are always of a concern. On the other hand, for an agency of our size that has just started moving into project delivery to take on a $200 million or $130 million project is an awful lot. And there are a couple of aspects of that that I don't think have been covered, or at least I didn't understand. One is, if you want to hire staff, are you hiring staff to do very complicated work for just one project? I mean, my sense is if you're building in a construction management component to your agency, you're going to have projects down the road. And I don't see other really big projects down the road. So it's a little tricky to try to staff up to be able to manage a project and then be offering the staff, this is their job, this is the one job. The other thing is my experience with Caltrans is that even if it's a because it's a state highway, they're going to have they're going to have their nose in every aspect of what's done. So if we do the project, it's not like they're going to say, okay, go do it. We'll call, you know, let us know when you're done. They're going to be involved in everything. You know, they're going to want us to do it their way. They're going to want us to do it according to their requirements. It's not like we're going to be able to decide how it's going to be done. It's their road. And so they're going to make sure that we do it in a way that meets all of their requirements. And to the extent that by our doing it, there's less work for them, there may or may not be good feelings about that in terms of, well, what do these guys know? They're sort of taking on our responsibilities. So I'd sort of reluctantly would support the staff recommendation because I think there will be cost overruns, and there always are. But they're going to be cost overruns anyway. We can try to moderate them, and I hope that maybe through the projects that we're having now with Caltrans, relationships have developed so that we're more intimately involved as the construction project goes on, so we can minimize those. So the fact that they're going to do the project because it's, you know, we're on the hook for the cost overruns, our staff is going to be involved in the whole process very actively. And, you know, there can be a benefit to having getting our feet wet with a smaller project and being able to pull that off with the segment 12 aspect of it. So, I think that, you know, it's not an easy choice to make. It was interesting to me that the written staff report didn't have a staff recommendation. So we're just getting one here. So it seems like it's one where the staff itself is conflicted because there are pros and cons either way we go. And, you know, in the end, I do support the recommendation that staff has come up with.
Thank you. I appreciate your input, Commissioner Schifrin, because you've been, dating back to the, Morrissey-Soquel project and even prior to that, having Caltrans in the lead versus RTC in the lead. And we've done it both ways, and there are pros and cons to each. So I appreciate your perspective in that way, because there's a long history there of delivery of Highway 1 projects. And I will add about our agency and about where we stand today. You know, we passed Measure D in 2016. We started the comprehensive multimodal corridor planning effort at that time. We completed that effort in 2019. That was the Unified Corridor Investment Study. Then we delivered the heck out of the preferred scenario of that Unified Corridor Investment Study. And here we are again at this time starting another planning cycle. So I would explain planning and project delivery, it happens in cycles. And I don't see us stopping delivery of projects in our region until the Measure D is completely exhausted. So, you know, Measure D goes through 2047. We own a rail line. There's plenty to deliver there. But again, reiterating how valuable it could be for our region to have a well-suited delivery group as our agency, we could be a resource to the transit district. If the transit district wanted to do a big project, we could be a resource to cities and the county of Santa Cruz for large projects like the Soquel Drive multimodal project. I mean, that's a big project for them. And so I see us, you know, if we're going to, if it's not an if, it's as we step into this project delivery business, I don't see this valuable resource being a short-term thing. I think that it would be sustained over the long term because we're going to do a comprehensive multimodal corridor plan and it will be done, what, 3-4 years or so? And then we'll have a new set of projects to deliver at that time. And that's about the time that this project construction will end. So this is, you know, it seems like a short-term issue, but it really, thinking about the broader life of Measure D and what this really could do for our region, it could be really valuable. So just wanted to add that.
Thank you. Any other commissioner's question? Commissioner Martinez?
Thank you. And I do know we still need to go to public comment, but since other commissioners are adding their comments, I might just add mine as well, which is, you know, I appreciate the two options coming before us. And what I hear Director Christensen say is that, you know, there's possibility for RTC to transform into something different. But I don't think that that's the question that's before us today. I look forward to having a more strategic conversation about what the RTC's role is in our community. You know, what's our role with the rail line? What's our role with bringing forward construction projects? What's our role with, you know, planning future projects on, you know, rural highways, on, you know, state highways? And so I would recommend that the staff bring forward spaces where the commission can have this strategic discussion and perhaps set some strategic goals about, you know, where we're putting our resources and what our priorities are on a future discussion. So that way today we're not kind of using this action to back into a whole new line of business in, you know, to the long, for the long haul, right? So given that, I'm going to be recommending the hybrid option, which is kind of getting our feet wet. And I would look forward to a greater conversation about potentially expanding our role as, you know, construction partner, but when we have all the information. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. And with that, I'm going to go out to public comment. Without closing public comment, and I'll bring it back for commissioners, I'll make the appropriate motion to move the staff recommendation and do the hybrid option.
Second.
So it's been moved and second. Commissioner.
This is one,
yes.
The hybrid. I do have I want to respond to public comments and ask a couple of questions about the rail bridges. My understanding is in the existing project for the freeway, the rail bridges will be replaced. Is that the case?
That is correct. That's part of the project. And the reason those railroad bridges need to be replaced is because the highway improvements to at the auxiliary lanes and the standard shoulders require the bridges to have longer spans. And the only way to do that is to replace the bridge. And so there's two of them.
Right. And my second question is for the segment 12 project that includes a trail bridge over the highway, or is it two trail bridges? How are the bridges going to be provided for segment 12?
There's two adjacent trail bridges over the highway that are next to the rail bridge.
And they're included in the project scope.
Also included in the cost estimates and the project scope.
Okay, thank you. There's
a lot
never
of
ending confusion that I hear about. So I just thought that's how I understood it, but I just thought it would make sense to put it.
If I may also add that these two bridges, Caltrans had agreed to include them in their scope of work too, although they belong to the trail, but because they are in the state right of way, Caltrans had agreed to include them in the hybrid section.
The Caltrans project for the highway is going to include both the rail bridges and the trail bridges.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Commissioner Clark?
Yeah, just a couple of comments here. I agree with Commissioner Martinez's assessment here that I would like to see the agency grow to where we have the resources available. I would be happy to support the option now that we go ahead and build the agency to it, but it also makes a lot of sense that we phase it in and we do the hybrid approach. So I'd be supportive of that at this point, but I would like to have that conversation about building the agency's capabilities beyond that. And quite frankly, it's to you, Sarah, and all of your staff, because of the competence and the capabilities that you have proven and you've shown us. And we've been a bit of a delivery machine here lately. And it's because of your team that I feel confident that we could build the agency to a point where we have these kinds of capabilities. And I do agree that it would be beneficial to the entire region to do that. I mean, God knows that, you know, in the thriving metropolis of Scotts Valley, we could use that kind of support. I don't have that kind of staff to take on a project. So I appreciate the commissioner's comments and look forward to the vote on that.
Commissioner,
I think it's definitely worth a discussion, and I support both Commissioner Clark and Martinez's comments. But let me point out, those positions will have to be paid for. And what that means is that Metro and the local jurisdictions will get less money, because the only way we can pay for them on an ongoing basis is through TDA. And so there may be benefits that make that worthwhile. But these are significant costs, and they're going to have to be paid. So I think it isn't before us now, but it is worth a discussion. But it's not a simple thing to, or an inexpensive thing to move forward with.
Just a point of clarification really quick. So you are correct if these were, say, administrative or, you know, finance type of positions, but these are project delivery positions, and they would be funded through Measure D Highway, Measure D Active Transportation, and the grants that we've secured for the project for the duration of the project. And then, you know, whatever future projects that we have, it would be funded by the project, not out of TDA specifically. So I just wanted to make sure that was clear.
And plus, Amin's going to save me $12 million on this project. I have every confidence in
Amin. I'll try my best.
With that, we're going to take a roll call.
Commissioner Jensen?
Yes.
Commissioner Keeley? Commissioner Clark?
Aye.
Commissioner Montesino?
Yes.
Commissioner Hernandez?
He just stepped out.
Commissioner Alternate Shiffrin?
Aye.
Commissioner DeSerpa?
Aye.
Commissioner Koenig?
Aye.
Commissioner Martinez?
Aye.
Commissioner Quitos Carter?
Aye.
Commissioner Leonor?
Yes.
And that passes unanimously.
With that, I think we're going to take a 10-minute break, and then we'll bring back, because the next item is going to be also like a long one.